Terry. Twitter reverse, Terry.
I can't play. The ball is just sitting there, Terry. I can't hit it.
Damn you people, this is golf.
What should you kill every golfer on the course?
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're going to like me if they throw away the key.
What are you doing?
I'm fixing a divot.
Oh. He's fixing a divot!
Welcome to the First Tee Jitters Podcast, episode 24, I think, 24. Big news yesterday. Could have been a lot worse. I didn't know how this was going to go today, depending on what the news was yesterday afternoon. Tiger's car accident. Looked like it was going to be really, really, really bad there for a while. It's still pretty bad, but a little bit better than I think most everybody thought from the beginning. I saw it at like 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, maybe, which was, I guess, 4 or so hours after it actually happened. And it did not look very good from the very beginning.
Yeah, it was like deja vu. I mean, we've seen this before. Not quite the same, but
that was the first thing I thought about too, though.
Well, dude, I'm telling you, some of those pictures, I don't know if it was doctored or what, but he looked like his eyes were red at the Invitational. So,
yeah, that was my first thought. I just remember when he got his DUI, DWI years back. Was that four or five years ago? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the amount of drugs in his system was alarming. And I just thought, uh-oh, he just had back surgery. Who knows what he's on or what he's taking. But it sounds like he was rushing to get to that clinic he was doing, or that was that for Golf Channel or
I think it has to do with Golf Channel, yeah.
Or is it Golf Digest? Well, he was with David Spade and Dwayne Wade the day before, and apparently yesterday he was supposed to be at Drew Brees. So he was supposed to be there at a certain time and was running late, and I hope that was the case. I
think everyone's kind of hoping. How does Tiger Woods run late? Like, if Tiger Woods shows up late to me, I'm going to be like, it's no problem, dude. Glad you're here.
Like, well, listen to the cops talk. They said people routinely go like almost twice the speed limit on that road and that it's not a very safe road to begin with. So I don't know. Well, I think we avoiding speculation on everything, and I think they've sort of ruled out all of the bad stuff that people maybe initially thought. And I think William's right that he was either – if he wasn't rushing to get there, he was probably just driving too fast on an unfamiliar road and clipped a curve and took a nice little ride down the hill.
Kind of like if you see a guy driving a golf cart way too fast on the golf course.
Yeah, that has happened to you. So you should know all too well. You get a little close to that curve, it can send you for a ride.
Well, that golf cart was way too fast.
And the good news – go ahead.
That has happened to me, too. We're going to call out Chris Bean Strecker, number two at Lexington Golf and Country Club in Lexington, Virginia. You know how it's a sharp left turn, almost 90 degrees to the left at the bottom of the hill. Well, we recently got new golf carts at that point in time, and he floored it and took off his foot off the accelerator, which – put the car in neutral to pick up twice as much speed and took the turn, and he landed on top of me. And I had never been so angry in my life.
Yeah. Mine was dangerous because I could have snapped my leg in half because I kicked my leg out like a kickstand so it wouldn't roll over instead of just letting it fall on the ground.
But, the good news is we can sort of talk about it in a little more lightly today, knowing what we know now that Tiger Woods is still going to be able to see his kids, and whether or not he plays golf again, I don't think people are extremely concerned about that right now.
He'll play golf. He'll play golf.
Probably going to be a while, but the good news is that he can see his kids tomorrow, and I think everybody's happy about that.
Well, exactly. Sorry, Brady, go ahead. I interrupted both you guys.
I was just going to say, Cap, I hate to be Captain Hindsight here, but I guess since he's okay, I feel a little bit better saying this. why is he driving his own car? I mean, if he's running late, like, he has enough money, he can just have a guy on a shift driving for him all the time, you know.
I heard other people talking about that on the radio today. And I think they were talking about some people just don't like other people driving. They said that they notice, like, when Tiger plays in pro-am tournaments or he's riding in a cart with his caddy and stuff like that, Tiger's always the one even driving the golf cart. So he might just not be comfortable with somebody else driving him. But he does not have a very good history at this point driving cars. So maybe it's something he'll look into after this.
Exactly. If you like driving cars, that's great. But once you have a couple run-ins, it's like you got to give up what you like just to save what you make your money on, and that's playing golf.
And
yeah,
that was my thought exactly, Brie. I was actually about to bring that up before you brought it up. You know, even these NFL, NBA, these professional athletes that don't have hundreds of millions of dollars like Tiger Woods, they have enough money. They've gotten in trouble, DUIs, or just doing stupid stuff. Like, you can pay someone $200 to $300 a day or a 6-hour, you know, span just to be your driver. And if I was Tiger, I would have someone drive me. I mean, he has someone flying around on a, you know, private plane. I know it's a different story and you have to be licensed to fly that plane, but, like, yeah, just have someone be your personal driver. All this would be out the window.
It's not even about, like, protecting what he does to make money, because he's got money. He'll always have money. But it's more, for me, him protecting his legacy and potentially winning some more majors and hopefully winning one more tournament. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not about money. It's about his brand. Exactly, Tyler.
Right. So, you know, the one thing, you know, when Brady made a comment that was pretty funny, it was like, take any golfer, but don't take Tiger. I agree, but it made me think of the movie, The Other Guys, when they're having the meeting, like the AA meeting for cops that have shot people. And they were talking about when Mark Wahlberg shot Derek Jeter, and the guy was like, he's a biracial angel. And that screamed through my head when I heard that.
I don't think there's too many other people that something like that could happen and you would say, take anybody, but not that one. That's right. Sort of, that's like Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, and that might be it.
No, yeah, I'll tell you what I thought of yesterday. As soon as I started getting all these notifications from my phone about the accent, I just thought about Kobe Bryant, you know, this time last year about, like, it's like
in Los
Kobe
Angeles.
Bryant's, yeah, in Los Angeles, Kobe Bryant's an icon. I was like, not again. Like, we can't get through this shit again, especially everything we've been through with COVID and Kobe Bryant dying, American sports icon. It's just, yeah.
Yeah.
We just got it in, go that far.
If Kobe Bryant's death brought on COVID, what would Tiger Woods' death bring on? You know what I mean? Probably an apocalypse.
Pretty good advertising for Genesis cars, though. They just came off a really good tournament that I think a lot of people watched, and now their car saved Tiger Woods' life.
Hyundai makes a great vehicle. People can trash it all they want, but great, moderately placed vehicle. Hyundai. Yeah, Genesis is the luxury brand for Hyundai.
Speaking of advertising, did you happen to see – I don't know if this is like a new thing that they're doing, but I got a chance to sit down and watch a good bit of it on Sunday – and they would just flash up the Genesis logo, like, behind Tony Finau when he was putting.
I didn't even pay attention to that.
I thought that was kind of weird. I thought golf would be the last one to kind of sell out and you know, start selling their literal green space to advertise.
Got to make the money. Or is this, like you're talking about, I noticed some of it, like, with the background kind of behind people when they were teeing off. It was like they would have a computer-generated, like, advertising boards behind him on the tee box. I did see some of that.
This one was specifically somebody was putting and it was definitely on the back nine and somebody who was in contention, and I was like, they just flash a Genesis logo behind him.
It's weird. Speaking of Genesis, I'm really glad that Tiger Woods is okay, because the Genesis Invitational was really, really good, and I watched a lot of it, and it would have not unfair, because it would have been very fair to talk about Tiger for hours if we wanted to, if something worse had happened, and it it turns out that it is really bad and he broke his leg and probably has a pretty long recovery ahead, but it's not as bad as people thought. So we can still talk about golf.
Yeah. And if Alex Smith came back from his, you know, his leg injury and
his leg mutilation.
Yeah. And he's playing football, Tiger, you know, give him some time, but I think he will. Schedule might not be as consistent and play as many tournaments as he has in the past, but I think he will be okay. I think we will see him play golf again.
And William, you said it yesterday. I'm going to go ahead and put all the money that I have on Tiger to win the U.S. Senior Open when he's 50 years old.
Yeah, I was reading about that, and like I heard that Tiger probably is going to play too many like Champions Tour events, but he will try to play that just so he can get the clean sweep of all the major USGA events. Because he won USAM, US Junior AM, US Open, and he just kind of has to win the Senior US Open. So
we'll move on past that and talk about the tournament last weekend. Max Homa beat Tony Finau in the second playoff hole at the Genesis Invitational. I think I texted all of you yesterday. That was one of the most fun tournaments I've ever watched for it being a non-major. And the field was loaded. It was close at the end. It went to a playoff. There were a lot of big names kind of up there. I thought it was extremely enjoyable to watch. And I know, Brady, you said you watched a lot of it too.
Yeah, which is rare for me. I don't know if they just caught me. You know, the college basketball game was good at like 12 o'clock, the Michigan-Ohio State game, and then there was kind of nothing on. And I was like, well, might as well get a little action on this golf tournament and turn that on. And, yeah, I got locked in. I got hooked. It was just the right amount of drama for me on a Sunday that I couldn't turn it off.
Sam Burns led after the first, second, and third rounds. I think after the second round, maybe he was up six strokes on the field. Saturday got delayed as he was teeing off. They blew the horn for a wind delay. And I don't know if I put it on our thing, but I happened to be watching when that happened. And they showed Keegan Bradley was putting, I think, on – I don't know what hole it was. He had looked like maybe a 40-foot putt. And the wind completely blew it off of the green 15 or 20 feet when he hit it. And then right after that is when they blew the horn to stop play. But that's the first – I know it's happened before. I think last time it happened was an open championship in England or Scotland or something like that. But that's the first time I've seen play get stopped because of wind. William, you deal with wind a lot down there.
Yeah, I mean, it's when the wind's blowing, it's pretty serious. Like you can't hit a putt, you know, it doesn't matter which way the putt's breaking. If it's blowing hard enough in a certain direction, that's where the ball's going as soon as it loses speed. So yes, it's, if it's blowing over 20, 25, like if it's getting upwards of 30 miles an hour, you can't realistically play golf. So that's the right call there for sure.
I got really excited because I had put some money on FanDuel on a few guys parring or bogeying the first hole, and I was really excited that it was super windy because everybody had been making birdie all week on that, and the odds were I had pretty good numbers for them to make par or bogey, and the wind was blowing a ton, and I thought I was going to win, and then they delayed it, and I think four of them still ended up parring it, so I won a little bit of money off that. Jordan Spieth played well again for the third straight week. I don't know. I guess, are we saying Spieth's back now?
I think he needs a win, but I like seeing the forward progress with old Jordan Spieth.
DJ played well. Ricky Fowler finally played well. It was kind of buried underneath everybody else, but he finished tied for 20th, which is the best he's finished in a long time. I think he still probably needs to win before April to make it into the Masters field. I think that's the only way he can get in.
DJ played well, but man, he fell off. Right when I tuned in, it was right when he went downhill. I mean, he looked like Happy Gilmore getting hit by an errant car at the Waterbury Open. I mean, every shot they showed, was, you know, him, you know, off a tree or going over the green. He'll be fine. He's still heavy favorite to win this week, but he did. I was kind of surprised of how much he fell off at the end there.
Yeah, but he still shot like 70 or 69 for the day. It wasn't like wasn't like last July when he put those consecutive rounds in the 80s together. But wasn't that the Tour Championship where Happy got hit by the Beetle and not the Waterbury?
My bad.
Waterbury Open is how he qualified to start playing.
With Daniel Lafferty. His playing partner.
I saw a picture today. Apparently, Will Zalatoris who screwed me out of a top 10 finish 2 weeks ago. Looks like Happy Gilmore's caddy, and he has on his wedges, he has stuff from the movie stamped onto his wedges. The one that I saw a picture today that said, "Mr. Gilmore, I'm your caddy," stamped on one of his wedges.
Oh, the original caddy, the kid with the blonde,
Where were
the bleached hair.
Tony Finau shot a final round 64. I think it's time for people to stop shitting on Tony Finau's final rounds because the numbers show that he plays well in the final rounds. And he played well in this final round. He had chances to win it, and he didn't, but a 64 is pretty damn good on Sunday at Riviera.
He looked awesome. He was locked in, just seeking the pins on every hole, and then just couldn't quite get it done. Have you guys heard anything about the Puerto Rican Open course or curse?
I have. I was actually going to bring that up later.
Oh, I haven't. No.
Is Tony Finau, does that involve him?
It does, but he's going to break free from it. So it actually got broken, I believe.
Victor Hovland.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's his year. So I'm going to buy some stock old Tony Finau. But before that, it was a long stretch, William, where whoever won the Puerto Rican Open didn't win again, and that included Tony Finau. It's his one win, correct?
I have no idea. If that's where you heard it from, then that's
– I think it was his one win, and then there was somebody else who won it, and then they won the Puerto Rican Open again, but that was the only other win that they had. It was a long stretch of just people winning the Puerto Rican Open and never winning anything else.
The only reason I knew about it was because Victor Hovland's his second win on tour, whenever that was, I remember them when he made the putt to win it. I remember the announcer saying Victor Hovland breaks the Puerto Rican Open curse.
But is Tony Finau playing in the Puerto Rican Open?
No.
This weekend? Okay, I was about to say, because I'm sure he's playing in the World WGC event just because of his world ranking, but the Puerto Rican Open, it's like second tier PGA event, I'd say. Like the PGA always they'll do an event during like the Open Championship or a World GC, World Golf Classic event.
Like they do with like the Barbasol.
Yeah. The Barbasol down in either Mississippi or Alabama. But it's like a lot of guys who don't have a full PGA card playing it, or a lot of like Korn Ferry Tour guys playing it. So the field's not as strong, but I didn't know about that curse. That's crazy.
So Finau shot a 64. Max Homa shot a final round 66. They both finished 12 under. We were all texting back and forth. Finau bogeyed like 14 or 15 maybe. And I texted you guys, and Brady said, "I'm not worried. He's going to make him back." He birdied the next two holes. They ended up tying. We thought that was the end for Finau when Max Homa stuck his approach on 18 to like 3 feet. And we all texted, said, "Not happening for Finau." And then Max Homa missed his 3-foot putt to send it to a playoff. And then I think, Brady, you asked us all who we were pulling for. I just really like Max Homa. Nothing against Tony Finau. I think he's going to win a lot eventually. But for whatever reason, Max Homa's from L.A. He's been on a lot of stuff with, like, the No Land Up guys. And he has a big social media presence. And
he's got his own golf podcast.
Yeah,
he did a grip with Shane Bacon.
That's right.
Yeah, no,
I like Max Homa a lot.
Yeah, his activity. I'm not on Twitter, but people will repost his stuff on Instagram. I'm more of a Instagram guy myself, but Tyler just perked up when I said Instagram. Yeah, Max Homa. He's got a great sense of humor. Rates fan swings. Yeah, he just seems like a fun guy.
So I watched the playoff. It lasted two holes. The first playoff hole, which I thought was really cool, was the 10th hole, which is that really sweet drivable par 4 that a lot of people were struggling with. It seems like if you don't either keep it in front of the green or get it on the green, it's tough to get up and down from wherever you're at. And Tony Finau hit a pretty good shot, and Max Homa hit a drive off to the left. It landed up against a tree, and I thought that was the end. And then he hit an unbelievable second shot from like a tree root that ended up on the green. I have no idea how he did that, but
unreal.
So they both parred that hole. They both missed putts that would have won it. Went to a second playoff hole, which was a par 3. I think we've talked about it before. You don't normally see par 3s in playoffs, but that's kind of cool. And Brady, you said something about – you asked us if anybody had ever got a hole-in-one to win in a playoff. And I'd never heard of it, but you looked it up and somebody has.
Somebody did. Yeah, no. 2014, I think.
Jonathan Bird in 2010. I don't remember.
And in Las Vegas, Justin Timberlake's tournament, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Homa parred it. Finau went into the sand and ended up bogeying it. Max Homa won. That's his second win. He won at Quail Hollow last year, I think. So he's won now on two really difficult golf courses.
Yeah, I mean, two courses that have hosted a major. So he's got the game to get it done, that's for sure.
And people really seem to like Riviera too, and it looked awesome on TV and looked like it was in really good shape. So I wouldn't be surprised if maybe a major comes back there at some point.
No, all like the golf nerds and analysts out there want Riviera to host another major. They say it might be a little too short, but I mean, 12 under for a regular event is not, you know, that's no one's going that low. That's pretty tough.
Yeah, I don't think the distance, the shortness of the course didn't matter at all. Justin Thomas, Bryson, Rory all missed the cut. The field was loaded. It was all the guys that would be there for a major tournament, and a lot of them struggled. And I thought it was fantastic.
I mean, we saw Wingfoot this past year at the U.S. Open. Like, Wingfoot's not super long. You can make the golf course tight and grow it out a bit to make it that tough. And you know, just because the guys can bomb it doesn't mean they're going to be that accurate. So,
They talked to Tony Finau after he lost, and I really want him to win. I didn't want him to beat Max Homa. I want him to end up in a playoff with Patrick Reed and beat him. But he sounded great after he lost. He's got a really good attitude. Is very, very well-spoken fella, and he's going to win eventually.
You kind of touched on it, and that's why I'm pulling for him so hard. It's like he is playing well. Like I kind of feel like some of these people, you know, just can't get it done, and they kind of choke. But Tony Finau just seems – unbelievably unlucky. Like that shot that Homa hit on the playoff was unfair. Like I heard him interview, they interviewed his caddy, and his caddy just had no idea what he was doing. He was just kind of like, yeah, give me the club and watch this. And like had no idea that he was going to be able to pull off the shot that he pulled off. So I really just feel bad for the guy. Like you said, he's well-spoken. That's why I'm pulling for him.
William, you mentioned something the first day of the tournament that I know you wanted to talk about, and that was Bubba's iron covers.
Yeah, just working a golf course and being a caddy, one thing that is just cringeworthy and just one thing you hate are iron covers. I get it if you're traveling and you're trying to protect your golf clubs, but when they're in your golf bag and you're either in a cart or walking with a caddy or carrying your own bag, it's like you're not going to beat up your clubs by them clicking together. You're doing more to your golf clubs by hitting an actual golf ball than just clicking together. And a guy like Bubba Watson, he could get a new set of clubs any minute, any hour of any day. I don't get it. It's just, you see all those golf memes, everyone makes fun of the guy with iron covers, and Bubba Watson kind of fits that mold with his attitude and just kind of his demeanor at times. So it fits him perfectly, but iron covers are the worst. No one have iron covers.
Tyler, you got any iron cover opinions?
Everything's better raw.
Coming up this weekend is the WGC Workday Championship at the Concession in Florida. Moved from Mexico because of COVID. They couldn't host it there. The Concession is apparently the most difficult golf course in Florida. Didn't know that. I watched the No Laying Up crash course video today about the Concession. They had like a caddy on there, and he was saying that it is very difficult, but they're still probably going to – he said he figured the winning score would be 15 or 16 under still. So that tells you how good those guys are. Patrick Reed won last year when it was in Mexico. Another really good field. It's a WGC tournament, so all the top guys are going to be in it. It's also the start of Florida Swing. I think they're going to be in Florida for 4 straight weeks now. And then opposite field event, like we talked about, it's the Puerto Rico Open at the Grand Reserve Country Club in Puerto Rico. Victor Hovland won last year. It was his first win, and then he broke the Puerto Rico Open curse by winning.
The Mayakoba Classic in Tulum. Well, played a Carmen.
I think these opposite field events and stuff like this, William, you talked about it a minute ago, is a chance for somebody to get their first win. Young guys who aren't up there in the world rankings or guys on the Corn Ferry Tour, they're coming up. Gets a lot of people a chance to get a PGA Tour win and keep their status for a while.
Yep. I'm just kind of bummed that the event isn't in Mexico City. That was always a fun tournament to watch just because – the elevation, I think they play at like 8,000 feet or something crazy. It's higher than the elevation in Denver, Colorado. So you've got like a 440-yard par 4, and DJ is like hitting it over the green with his driver. So there isn't going to be any of that. But I'm excited to see the new course and see how those guys fare on that.
We're not going to pick top 10s for the Puerto Rico Open, but we do need to pick top 10s for – the Workday Championship. Brady, how did we do last week at the Genesis?
I didn't have a very good week, but you guys had a good week. Looks like we had Tyler cash John Rahm for a $10 bet for $11, and Wes, $10 bet to win $34 on Victor Hovland. So me, William, and Wes are all still negative. I'm minus 15. William is minus 35, Wes is minus 16, and Tyler plus 41, making us all look better.
All right, since William, you're the most in the hole, you get the first pick here with your top 10 pick this week.
I'm going to go with a guy who lives down in Florida. He's not from Florida, didn't have a very good week last week. And he sent out a emotional message about Tiger Woods, saying he was sick to his stomach when he heard about the news. I'm going to go Justin Thomas. I think he's going to play with passion this week, and I think he's going to do well.
Justin Thomas is plus 180 to finish in the top 10.
There's a lot of big names that are in this one. I'm going to take somebody who has won very recently. Didn't play last week, but won the week before. I'm going to take Daniel Berger. Another strong finish in the top 10.
Another Florida boy.
Daniel Berger is plus 225.
Your pick, Brady?
I was looking through the list today, and I was like, man, kind of want to just troll everybody and take Bryson and just become the Bryson guy of the podcast. He's plus 200 to finish top 10. But then I got to thinking to myself, what if you could just bet on the Miami Dolphins to win every year their undefeated season? You know, what if you could just pick the Chicago Bulls to win their third, fourth, fifth NBA championship? What if I could pick Tony Finau to finish in the top 10 after he does it week in and week out? I'm going to pick Tony Finau until further notice. I'm buying all the stock in Tony Finau, and I'm going to take him to finish in the top 10 at plus 175.
This is going to be the week he does it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Tyler, you're up a lot of money, so you got a little leeway here.
Yes, I would like to take Scottie Scheffler, please.
Very matter of fact there.
Scottie Scheffler is plus 300.
He played well last week. I think maybe that was the week before. But he's played well recently. Mr. 59. If you need any kind of golf outerwear, hats, vests, jackets, go visit Solo Golf Company, S-O-L-O, Solo Golf Company, and use our code FIRSTTJITTERS at checkout for 10% off your purchase. Brady, you had a good idea a while back that we're going to do a little Masters pick'em kind of deal for whoever's listening or following us wherever they're following. Make sure I get this right. We're going to start it with the Masters in April. All of the Saturday pairings, we'll get out a list of all the Saturday pairings on the third round, and whoever sees it, whoever follows us, picks who they think is going to finish higher or have the better score for that day in each pairing, correct?
I think we just do it the best pairing, so that way you can watch it Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, so we'll send out the rules and let people pick, and we'll have a nice prize pack for whoever ends up winning, getting the most picks right, and then hopefully we can do it for more tournaments after that. But we're going to start it for the Masters in April. A lot of golf news involving the Genesis and Tiger in the last few days, but there has been some other golf news, just some stuff recently. Matt Kuchar has a kickstand, apparently.
Some guys just have it all, you know?
Yeah, we don't have to discuss that in detail, but I think a lot of people saw that. Go ahead.
I hope that was just a crease in his pants. It wasn't a real. I've become less and less of a fan of Matt Kuchar through the years. So,
somebody I am a fan of is Cameron Smith, who has the best hair in golf right now. With his mullet, he played well at the Masters. He's played well recently. If he wins, that's going to be the best hair to ever win a golf tournament in the history of the PGA Tour.
I don't know. I mean, John Daly won with a mullet at both of his major wins in the 90s, but yeah, it'd be great to revamp the mullet. And Cam Smith's a great guy. All those Australian golfers just seem like a lot of fun, like guys you want to hang out with. That's just kind of Australian culture in general. It's just fun, laid back. They like to have a good time. They're relatable, down to earth. They're not stuffy.
You're going John Daly's hair over Cam Smith, Tyler?
Yeah, John Daly is vetted.
I didn't dislike John Daly's mullet, but John Daly had a mullet when mullets were more
acceptable.
I guess a little more acceptable. Cam Smith's going against the grain here.
It's no mullets are back in, but it's the person that wears the mullet.
I agree. The
mullet doesn't wear the man.
If you're going personality, John Daly's top of the list, but I think I'm taking Cam Smith's mullet over John Daly's. Speaking of Australians, every time I saw Adam Scott on TV this weekend, I thought it was Matthew McConaughey. I can't be the only person who thinks that.
Dude, both are extremely handsome men. I've seen Adam Smith. I mean, Adam Smith. Adam Scott in person a few times, and you're just like, that is one good-looking man. Because he's 6'2", in great shape, great head of hair. He's got those baby blues. He's got those Paul Walker eyes. Rest in peace, Paul Walker. But, yeah, gotta love a tall, handsome man.
Should we have a sexiest PGA golfers draft?
I'm comfortable with my sexuality. Yes, we should.
I think William's voting for Adam Scott. William, you texted me last week sometime and said we needed to talk about this person. And we should have talked about him last week when he was playing at Pebble Beach. But you want to talk about Kamai Johnson. He played at Pebble Beach last week on a sponsor's exemption. He was supposed to play the Farmers Insurance Open, got COVID, couldn't play. So he's at this point, everybody's heard his story. He dropped out of school when he was 13, was living with his grandma, I think, beside a golf course. He was outside swinging a stick one day, and some lady who was golfing walked past him and told him she'd charge him $1 a day and he'd come play as much golf as he wanted. And he ended up – he went to Florida A&M. Is that right?
I don't know if he went there, but he's from Tallahassee.
So he got his sponsor's exemption. He plays on the Advocates Pro Golf Association Tour, which is for – ethnic and minority players to kind of help get them a chance to advance their golf game. He was the 2020 tour champion on the Advocates Pro Golf Association Tour. And so he played at Pebble Beach last weekend. That was really cool. He's been on the making his way around the golf world recently.
Yeah, I just think there needs to be some diversity on the PGA Tour, and it's cool that there's a tour that gives them – that gives people of different race and color a chance. And, yeah, just a cool story overall. And I'm glad that he's kind of made a name for himself in the game of golf. That's pretty cool.
And then this weekend, or last weekend at the Genesis Invitational, Willie Mack III played. He played under the Charles Sifford Memorial Exemption. And he also played on the same tour. Harold Varner III played under the Sifford Memorial Exemption before. Willie Mack was the first player since Harold Varner to shoot under par in the first round. I think he ended up missing the cut by four, but he had a chance to make the cut and played really well. So I'm sure we'll see both of those guys around. He played at the Farmers Insurance Open too.
I'm pretty sure Farmers is a sponsor for both those guys.
Yep.
Which is also – great for them to kind of help with all travel expenses and all that, because yeah, that can get pretty expensive traveling around the country pursuing that golf dream. But speak of another handsome man, he's a handsome looking guy as well.
You're all about the handsome PGA Tour players today.
Yeah,
give away all your draft picks, William.
you also wanted to talk about the Grow in the Game initiative and the First Tee program, and I don't know much about either of it. So, Tyler, I know you were a part of the First Tee program, so I'm going to let you and William talk about those things.
Tyler, I'll let you start.
All right, what are you
just
requesting information?
I don't know, just what the First Tee program is, because I don't know anything about it.
So, I think it started in 2002, and I think I was like the first class of kids that came through Heritage Oaks, my local golf course. And so I remember, man, I was like 11. So, I mean, kind of young. I mean, I know kids golf pretty early on in life, but kind of young to be out on a big adult golf course by yourself. So you went to a couple lessons, but then they were like, look, golf course is here. You can come play whenever you want. You know, it's free. I mean, obviously, I wasn't old enough to drive a cart, but basically, my grandma or my mom would drop me off, and I would be there for hours you know, maybe all day just walking holes. And, like, you know, being 11 years old, it's like the average golf course is probably like a couple miles worth of walk. And it was like a big deal for me then, you know, it was hard work. But I just liked golf at the time. I mean, I still do, but it was just, it's all I had to do. I was young and didn't have responsibility. So I took advantage of it, played a lot of golf, didn't cost me any money, learned life lessons. They were talking about shutting Heritage Oaks Golf Course down because it's a muni course and funding was an issue. And I made a Facebook post that said that the first tee program is what kept me from becoming a drug dealing kingpin. So I got a lot of laughs out of that. But I mean, I did learn lessons, you know, that most children don't learn in football or baseball. Like, you, I mean, golf's one of those games where the ethics are part of the rules, I guess, or, you know, a principle that the game is founded on. So it's a little unique compared to what most kids are playing as far as sports go. So, I mean, overall, great experience. I actually saw the pro that was running the first tee program the other day because they had a sale and I went in there to buy some stuff and he just happened to be there. So we reminisced for a few minutes about those times. But, I mean, great experience. If you can get a kid to do that, I'm sure the golf is still free. I mean, it's a no-brainer if you have a kid.
Yeah, and Brady and I didn't go to first tee, but Brady and I really became friends at golf camp. And I mean, we were, you know, preteens and teenagers, but we still learned a lot. We joked around and kind of dicked around. But yeah, the morals of golf are also kind of the morals of life. And I think that should be passed on to our youth.
Yeah, especially in the setting of sports where kids are more, you know, focused or more receptive to. You can't just sit a kid down and teach them how to have integrity. Like, it doesn't work that way. So if you can incorporate it in something they're interested in, then you'll probably get far more positive results than you would otherwise.
Well put.
Even if Brady and I did throw a baby Ruth in the pool.
Duty.
Well, you may have done that then, but now you wouldn't do that because of the lessons that you learned.
Oh, we had already learned all of our lessons. We were just trying to.
Okay, well, I was trying to make you look better, but whatever.
No, I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Nah, I figured.
The mystery golfer of the week.
It was one of the funnier moments of my entire life now that I think back on it. It was, we got the same reaction that they did in Caddyshack. It was flawless.
Did they have to drain the pool?
No, they realized it was a chocolate bar as soon as everybody got out of the pool and they, like, used the net to get it out. But it was July 4th weekend. There were a lot of people in the pool.
That's great. You guys won the mystery golfer last week because I gave too many hints. It was Steve Stricker last week, the Ryder Cup captain. This week, the mystery golfer has 18 professional wins. Now, they're spread out through a lot of different tours. 5 PGA Tour wins, 3 European Tour wins, 1 Champions Tour win, and then that leaves 9 more wins scattered between mini tours and Korn Ferry and whatever else they have. 2 of his wins were majors. I don't know which ones. I don't remember. This person is the only player from the United States or Europe to win 2 majors and never play on a Ryder Cup team.
I already know who it is.
Son of a bitch.
Language.
We talked about him earlier.
Yeah, we did.
It's John Daly, right? Sorry, guys.
Yeah, it is.
Doesn't play well with others.
Yeah, no, it's not it at all. It's
nah, I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, it was how they did the Ryder Cup scoring then. because John Daly won in 91, and that was like the PGA in 91, I believe. And that was the year that Kiowa, where I work, of course, hosted the Ryder Cup. And that was like a month before, so he wasn't going to make that team. But he should have been on at least a President's Cup or Ryder Cup team. He's one of the best to ever do it. Living legend.
I mean, it might be time for you to give up the mystery golfer and let William do it.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. You know, William, come up with one next week.
I will.
The thing about I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but the thing about John Daly that's so crazy is that, I mean, he just played with raw talent. Like, I mean, he didn't do a whole ton to become a better golfer. Like, he says that in his interviews, and I don't think he's lying. Like, I don't think he's the kind of guy that, you know, tells people he doesn't study for a test, but then goes to his room and studies for hours. Like, no, I mean, the guy just
grips and grips it.
Well, there's that famous story about he was at some tournament, and he was trying to get Tiger to go to the bar with him, and Tiger was just, like, pounding balls. Then Tiger goes over to the putting green, and John Daly's like, Tiger, come get a drink with us. And he's like, no. And he asks him, like, one last time. He's like, no, John, if I had as much raw talent as you, I'd be doing the same thing. So that's coming from Tiger Woods, the best to ever play the game. So,
and then
that says a lot.
The way the story goes, like, didn't John Daly beat Tiger? Not necessarily won the tournament, but beat him in the scoring. And then Tiger was like, maybe I should have taken that drink with you after all.
Yeah. Good work. I'm 4-12 now, so congratulations. You're in charge of this next week. I give up.
Hang it up, bro.
Yep. It was a good run. I beat you guys on I got you on Adam Scott. I got you on Webb Simpson. Got you on DJ, and I got you on Bubba.
And the Bubba one you hardly got us on because we had mentioned him, but it was between him and Zach Johnson. And
hey, I don't make the rules. I do make the rules, but those are the four I won. So, last thing we got to do is add somebody to the frat house tonight.
Which should be your pony boy with the new updated modern mullet.
I can add him in. I like that.
I like it.
Cam Smith, second mullet in the frat house.
You got to have an Australian in your frat house, it seems.
Dude, Australians are like, they're great. They're a lot of fun, like I said. I loved it. If I weren't American, I wouldn't mind being Australian.
I agree. If I couldn't be American, I'd want to be Australian, except they got way too many snakes over there.
Yeah, the continent of Australia has like five times as many poisonous animals than like any other continent. And Australia is also an effing country, not continent. Oh, it is continent, but you know what I'm saying. It's crazy. You know,
get tough or die.
Yeah.
Good work. That's all I got. Thanks, whoever's listening. Go follow us on Instagram, @first_tjitters, and check out our website at firsttjitters.weebly.com. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to us this week. Be sure to check us out on Instagram at @first_tjitters and check out our website at firsttjitters.weebly.com. Also, if you're interested in learning anything about bourbon, be sure to check out the Barrel Brothers podcast. It's the Barrel Brothers, available on Spotify Podcast, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, and anywhere else you listen.